Tom, Kevin, as always, good to have you on the show. Hope you had a great weekend. And, you know, let's talk about the Dallas-Vegas series. How much of this is just Anton Khudobin playing lights out? And how much of this is on Vegas forwards not scoring?
Yeah, I think it's like I'm not taking anything away from Anton Khudobin, and I didn't take anything away from Thatcher Demko. Watched both closely, and they were phenomenal, especially some of the second chance opportunities that you see them turning away. I mean, you know, the highlight reel of Khudobin is, you know, full split, sprawled out, extended. Those are tough saves, and he's making them with a Tim Thomas like effort. That said, outside of that highlight reel, I don't think Vegas generates a lot of... I should hesitate. I'm not sure that it's generating the type of chances that are going to beat those goaltenders in particular. Now, we've talked a lot about East-West and making a goaltender move one way to the other. And what I think for Vegas is, what I'm seeing is a lot of the shots, even after they do that, they're a team that relies on sort of great shooters to score and from distance. And they've got guys that do it. But at this level, when you get down, usually the goalies that are still around at this point in the playoffs are on top of their games and playing pretty well. And even Demko, who came in cold, like, I think they are in some ways making it a little too easy. And to give you the example of Khudobin in particular, like, he came into this series with like a 909. I know he's been great against Vegas, but it's not like he was dominating the playoffs to this point. And when you really broke down how Colorado in particular was scoring on him, like, half of the goals that they created involved traffic, involved screens, involved taking away his eyes. And we've heard Vegas pay lip service to it, just as they paid lip service to it against the Canucks and Demko. Interestingly enough, the Game 7 winner against Demko was one of the very few layered screens they created in the three games against him. And to me, that's what's missing. It's not enough to say we got to get in his eyes and send one guy to park out in front of the crease. Khudobin, even at 5'11", as a guy who can't look over traffic, has to pick a side and has to look around it, he's good. He's good at doing that. And if you don't do a better job of forcing him to, for example, look to the short side as you're shooting it to the far side type of play, you're not going to take advantage of it. He's done a really nice job of battling through single-layer traffic. Go back to the Colorado series. Multiple layers, multiple bodies. Heck, most of their scoring chances and goals came on shots that never even made it through those layers of screens. They hit something in front, and then they had guys there to pounce on rebounds and finish up high, which is kind of missed on some of those second-chance opportunities for Vegas. They're trying to beat him along the ice, and he's going to get a leg out there, often with his belly, you know, right down on the ice, but he's going to get something there. And I just don't think Vegas has created enough of that type of opportunity. Let's put it this way. Not only is it about seeing shots, but it's about feeling those second chances. And so that puck that I save, for example, with my left pad, not only have I seen it and been able to kick it out, I know where it's going. I can feel it. I can see it. I know where that next chance is coming from. Broken plays are a great way to score in the NHL. And a team like Vegas with all that talent might not want to do it that way, but when you throw it into all those bodies in front, like Colorado was doing, and it hits them and it gets knocked down, Khudobin has no idea where it is because he didn't feel it. He didn't see it. And now he's got to find it through all that traffic. And being able to scramble, he gets away with it against Vegas because it's a little easier when it's only one guy and feel the puck and then go. I just don't think they're creating enough layers of traffic the way Colorado did to sort of, you know, frankly, scored a ton against Anton Khudobin.
Kevin Woodley from InGoal Magazine, NHL.com, joins us. You know, it's Kevin. It's funny. I tweeted the thing on the weekend. I was like, man, is Vegas allergic to getting traffic in front of Khudobin? And I know, and traffic, and you went obviously much more in depth about the feeling from a goaltender. That's really not something I'd even thought about, but it makes total sense now that you say it. And, like, I wonder if it's, like, you would think that's an easy thing to just say, okay, guys, crash the net. But there's a lot of skill in certain areas. Like, working hard is a skill. Wanting to go to the tough areas and maybe pay the price becomes somewhat of a skill.
Yeah, and the thing is like Vegas has enough skill in other ways that they've had success. And I heard Pete DeBoer say, like, don't change how we're playing. and maybe they come back and win the next three games and that works. Like I said, they got against Vancouver, eventually that dam broke. But I think it's interesting that the dam broke with a layered screen and a perfect shot from Shea Theodore, not with the tic-tac-toe stuff. You know, that frankly, you know, as much as I, and I'm one that talks about this, like lateral chances and lateral plays, this is how you score in today's NHL. But against a team that packs it in front of their goaltender, and the Canucks did this too for those final three games, the only way to complete those lateral passes are through the seams they give you, usually higher in the zone. And that means what I talked about before, distance. And so, yeah, it's kind of hard to change your DNA, and this is a team that you know, doesn't necessarily have this built into them, and maybe this is just a matchup problem because these are two teams that take away that slot area, that house area. I shouldn't say the Canucks typically do it, but for those three games, they did it really effectively. And part of that is also taking away, like when Vegas did try to create with seam passes and cross-ice passes in tight, I can't count how many times in that Canucks series there was a defenseman there to break it up or get a stick on it right before a tap-in was about to happen. So, maybe you just keep trying to shove that round peg into the square hole and hope that eventually some of those plays start to click. Rather than changing everything you are. Maybe that would be wrong. But I think we've seen enough evidence that Vegas just isn't going to be that type of team. And when you have the head coach say, don't change who you are, I don't think we can expect them to try to. I don't know that you're going to see Marchessault and Riley Smith and William Karlsson crashing into the slot to cash rebounds that are throwing in off bodies that are screening Hudobin. It just doesn't seem to be the way they play, even though you can have success doing it. The other thing I've wondered a little bit, man, would I love to see the Vegas pre-scout. Like, Demko was great, don't get me wrong, but Demko has some habits on his post-play where he will be in a post-integration, we've talked about it before, reverse VH, even when the play's in the corner. Vegas has forwards that were coming out of the corner at the puck and looking to make cross-ice plays through all those bodies, and not once in three games did I see them try and find a spot short side over that shoulder, the quote-unquote reverse VH fail that we all hate. And I watched other teams in the series leading up to it absolutely trying to go to school on Jacob Markstrom in that spot, and he's 2 inches taller and better at closing the hole. Now with Hudobin, I've watched Vegas score. They had a goal and a post the other night, shooting against the grain. Anton plays aggressively. That means he's moving more, and that means you can catch him moving more. So if he's moving left, you shoot back to his right on your one-timer. That's how Martinez scored. I can't remember who hit the post on. You know, Martinez is unscreened from range. The other one was a post. The post that was hit was off the rush from the top of the circles, again, shooting against the grain. And I'm thinking, okay, maybe they finally figured out the pre-scout. But then I watched the rest of their shots, and I'm like, okay, either they don't have this, or they're not listening to it, because they continue to shoot in the direction that he's moving, despite the fact some of the rare success they've had has been shooting against the grain. So, frankly, I have some questions about whether they're getting the right pre-scout intel or whether they're listening to it, because there are ways to beat Anton Hudobin, and they don't seem to be executing.
Kevin Woodley from Ingo Magazine and NHL.com joins us. Kev, it's interesting. I look at a guy like Hudobin, and I see what he's doing in the play. And let's say, whether they win the Stanley Cup or if they lose in the final, but if he's there in the final, I see teams maybe overreaching and thinking, wow, this could be our guy now who's a clear-cut starter. And there's the concern for Hudobin, right? Like, I know he was looking for $3 million before. Do you think he might get four? And do you think that's a little bit of a risk considering his age and the fact he's never actually been a starter in the regular season?
If you project him as a clear-cut number one workhorse, well, actually, I got to be honest with you. If you're projecting anyone as a workhorse these days, like I think especially for next season, what's becoming clearer and clearer, not just because of what we expect to be a condensed season, but what you're seeing in these playoffs, and that is everybody, including Hudobin, but everybody except Vasilevskiy seems to be wearing out. You're going to need two. So if you're projecting him to be a workhorse next year, well, that's probably a mistake in general terms. I think that Anton Hudobin is what he has been for the past couple of years for the Dallas Stars. A very likable guy in the backup role, So when he does go in, if he's not playing regularly, you're probably going to get a good effort in front of him because guys like to play for him. And that matters. It does. But also a guy who can give you a great start every 2 weeks, or a guy can give you 2 weeks worth of great starts. He has that potential. So to me, he's always had that upside. It hasn't changed. And I think you're even seeing it in the playoffs. I mean, like I said, 909 save percentage up until this round. He's capable of what you're seeing against Vegas, absolutely. But to expect it on the regular would probably be a mistake. Colorado showed that in the last round. Like let's not forget, they scored quite a bit of goals against him last round. And so I do think it would be a mistake to overpay. But I do think at the same time, if you're overpaying because you see the potential, but you're still tagging him in as 1A, 1B, then maybe it's worth it. If you're overpaying because you look at this run and say, this is our starter for the next 4 years, then yeah, that's a mistake and a big one.
Now, speaking of Russian goaltenders, Kevin, the Oilers have a young one right now in Konovalov. And I know, hey, it's a KHL, but man, he is off to an unreal start. I know you've crunched numbers a lot on goaltenders, and we say, well, goalies are late developers, and they might be in a lot of cases, but I also wonder if there's some that are overlooked and never given the opportunity because teams are always like, well, I'll sign that veteran backup because I know he's a backup, and even though he's only maybe a 905 backup, I know he's a backup, where the young guy, I'm not really sure. All right, what do you make of that theory, and what do you make of the young Russian for the Oilers?
I'd have to see more, Jason, I like to do the homework and I don't want to blow smoke. And so I haven't talked to anyone about him and I haven't looked at any film.
Okay.
So I'd be lying if I could speak to how he looks, what he's facing in terms of chances. I mean, we talked about Askarov, you know, the top Russian prospect, and my pre-scout on him based on, you know, limited video would look a lot different than some of the stuff I'm reading that seems to have no flaws. I see some. But I'm with you on the idea, and again, not to him specifically, but in general terms of let's take a look. And I think, you know, between Carter Hart, who is an exceptional talent, special case, but Mackenzie Blackwood, Thatcher Demko. I mean, the Canucks weren't even going to. They played Jacob Markstrom. Now, he was injured in practice, I should say this, and he was fighting through the injury the entire playoffs. But rather than give him a night off, they played him in back-to-back games, knowing all that, and ultimately ended his playoffs, rather than give Thatcher Demko a look. And look what Thatcher Demko did. And yep. Thatcher Demko had to sort of push and have his representatives push even to be in the NHL last season. And it was largely based on the fact that, hey, look at what Philly's doing with Hart. Look at what Blackwood is doing for the Devils. Why is my guy not getting that opportunity? He's been down there long enough. And so they made the move to get rid of Anders Nilsson and bring Demko up halfway through. That was a push from outside. So I think there is a sort of risk aversion, just leave them down there, and the longer the better theory that is prevalent in the NHL. And I'm curious if some of these recent trends will change that. Columbus last year. At the beginning of the year, it looked like it was going to be a risk that was going to bite them in the ass. They went with unproven Korpisalo and brand new to the NHL Merzlikins, and it didn't go well early. But look at the reward by the end of the year. Not only in terms of competing well in the playoffs, but how well they were playing down the stretch. And now you've got a couple of guys who you might actually be able to turn one into an asset because your goaltending pool behind them is not only is it filled with young guys who are maybe ready to make a similar step soon, but you've developed a trust in the ability to sort of let them have that opportunity, that you don't always have to have the guy with experience. So easy for me to say. Bad goaltending tends to cost people jobs in the NHL, so I understand the aversion to risk. But I think more and more over the past couple of seasons, we've seen examples where, you know, giving that guy the shot pays off. Jordan Binnington isn't a young guy, but look at all the circumstances it took for him to get a look. And when he did, what he was able to do with it. I think there are times when teams are too comfortable or are too attached to the experience factor and unwilling to take those risks. because of it. I also think there are some guys in the minor leagues. We saw with Bennington. What about Chris Driedger? Sometimes it is a guy taking longer to mature, and Driedger had some things in his off-ice habits and his work ethic that he'll be the first to tell you needed to change, and it took some time. But there are other guys down there in the A that, you know, Bennington is another prime example where that game is just a little more scrambled, a little more sort of hectic. And he's going to be a better NHL goalie than he was in the AHL because he's so good with his reads. But those reads don't serve you as well in the minors. Guys, it's a bit of a rodeo, and you got guys making mistakes all over the place. You get to the NHL where those mistakes are fewer, guys are where they're supposed to be, they make the plays that they're supposed to make far more regularly, and all of a sudden their game translates better. So for a lot of different reasons, I think teams should be willing to make those risks on younger goaltenders if they've done the work and believe they're ready. But because it's inherently still a risk, more often than not, they just dig into the free agent pool, find a guy in their mid-30s, sign him for a couple million dollars, and he's got experience, he's been there, he's done that, I did my job.
Kev, always good to have you on, man. We will chat with you next Monday. Should be interesting because we'll be in the Stanley Cup final by then.
Oh, it's at my understanding we're only having a day off in between once the conference finals are done. So we could be a couple games in by then. It's going to be fast.
You betcha. Awesome. Have a good one.
Okay, thanks.